Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. My dear fellow redeemed, as today we think about that hard truth of how the lost are found and those who perhaps think that they're found or don't need to be found are lost, we turn our attention to the gospel lesson that we have before us from Luke chapter 15. What do you do when you lose something? I suppose that depends upon what it is that you lost. If you lost a pen, unless for some reason it happens to be really special or you really, really like it, you may spend a little bit of time looking for it, but I have an idea that your house is probably like mine. There is a drawer in the kitchen that has all kinds of pens. So you might spend a little time looking, but very quickly you'll give up and just go get a different one. If you lost your car keys, well, that might be a little bit different. And again, maybe it depends upon what the setting is. If it is 7:55 on a Sunday morning, you might be scrambling just a little bit to find those car keys. You might enlist some help. You may be racking your brain trying to figure out, now where are those keys, otherwise we're going to be late. But maybe if it's a 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon and you don't need to be anywhere, then perhaps you may take a little bit of time. You might look around, maybe just try to retrace your steps, and assume that eventually you'll find them. If it's your child, you're panicking. And you are running everywhere, and you are calling everyone, and you are doing whatever it is that you can to find what you have lost. We focus our attention on the amazing grace of our Lord and our God this morning, and you and I are so thankful that He didn't hold anything back. He pulled out all the stops when it came time to find the lost. Seek the lost. Luke chapter 15 has sometimes been called the lost chapter. This is the chapter that has three different parables, all kind of revolving around the same idea. You and I have the first two of them before us today. A parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then perhaps the one that you're most familiar with, the parable of the lost or the prodigal son. Today we focus in on the sheep and the coin, and you and I are encouraged, as our Lord and our God does, seek the lost. As you and I do that, we need to think a little bit about the attitude, which is followed up by action. So when it comes time to seek the lost, what is the attitude? Perhaps it's like the attitude we see at the beginning of chapter 15. All the tax collectors and sinners were coming to Jesus to hear Him. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." We know who the sinners are. The sinners are those who deserve that label. We maybe don't talk so much about tax collectors and such people today, but there are folks that are in the back of our minds that you and I would qualify as sinners. These are the ones who are obviously and clearly not measuring up. These are the ones who are busy promoting something, condoning something, leading people astray. Oftentimes the sinners are the ones that you and I would start to say things along the lines of, "Can you believe?" Because they're the ones that we often find ourselves complaining about. "Can you believe she just said what she said? Can you believe that he did what he did? Can you believe that they're actually promoting this? Can you believe that anybody is actually buying into this? Can you believe what is happening around us?" And we grumble and we complain, and it's kind of interesting. The word that the Bible uses for grumble actually even sounds a little... The kind of grumbling we do off in the corner when we just simply have to say what needs to be said, but we don't want anybody else to hear it. We know who the sinners are. And it's not me. Do we see them as lost? Those that we would label as sinners, those that we have the attitude of as sinners in this world, do we see them as being lost? Worth going after? Worth seeking? Or are they not really my kind of people? I don't really have much to do with them. I'm not sure I even want to rub elbows with them. I'm reminded of when I was quite young. My dad came home from a church meeting and he was kind of chuckling. I think he was doing that because otherwise he'd have to cry. But he came back saying, apparently they must have been talking about starting some kind of an evangelism committee, and the comment was made as, I'm all for evangelism, I just don't know if I want all those strangers in church. We got a good thing going on here, let's not mess it up. We've got our ways, we've got our ideas, we've got our ways of doing things, and so we don't want to upset the apple cart. I'm not sure we consider them to be lost, but somebody should do something about it. I mean, somebody's got to deal with those people. Someone should do something. What's God's attitude? You and I marvel today, especially if you think about the other lessons that go along with this one, marvel at how our Lord and our God could have looked at you and me and could very easily have said, you know what, you're not my kind of people. He could very easily have said, I've got a good thing going on here, I don't want to mess it up with you guys. No, instead he said, it's time to seek the lost. He knows who the sinners are too. And he knows exactly what they need. They need to hear of who he is. They need to hear of what he has done. They need to know that even though they are lost, and for many sinners they are so lost they don't even know they're lost, he's the one who comes and finds them. He knows exactly what they need. They need to hear that message of repentance. They need to hear that there is a Savior who has wrapped himself in human flesh and stepped into this lost world. They need to hear that that is the one who absolutely perfectly walked among the lost, actively sought the lost. Repentance. Repentance is actually a change of heart. A change of mind. All of a sudden you're thinking differently than you used to think. Now we understand the sin. Now we understand what it does. Now we understand how lost we are because of what that sin is all about. Repentance says, I now want to have a different attitude. Instead of condoning it, instead of promoting it, instead of explaining it away, we want to turn away from it. Leave it behind. Go someplace else, do something else, think some other way. That comes because you and I have a Lord who seeks the lost. And he comes and he finds and allows that change of action to take place. And I've already given it away. Because as soon as you and I understand who the lost are, our attitude changes. Our attitude suddenly changes because now we know who the lost are. The lost are the ones that Jesus loves. The lost are the ones that Jesus lived for and died for and rose again to guarantee that he really does love the lost. And the lost is me and you. Seek the lost. Now that we know what God's attitude is, how thankful you and I are to rejoice in the fact that he didn't just have an attitude. He didn't just have some kind of feelings. He's not just sitting up in heaven wringing his hands saying, man, I wish somebody would do something. His attitude moved over into action. And that's really the point of what Jesus is talking about in his parables. As you and I rejoice in seeking the lost, we now see the action that God takes place. We start with God's action. He wants his entire flock to be safe. Jesus told them this parable, which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and lost one of them, would not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls together his friends and his neighbors, telling them, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. God wants His entire flock to be safe and secure and well-fed. You can't help but think a little bit about Psalm 23, the green pastures, the still waters, guiding, protecting, shepherding. So it doesn't surprise us that when one of those sheep wanders away, He's going to spring into action, seek the lost. And so He goes and He finds that one sheep and He brings it back. And Jesus' parable then can't really contain the whole point of what God wants us to understand, even though He is talking about the fact that He finds the sheep, if you've ever lost a sheep or something like that. I don't know if you and I would have called the friends and called the neighbors and thrown a great big banquet because we found the lost sheep. We might have grumbled. We might have said, stupid sheep, and put them back into the flock and waited for the next time you wandered away. God rejoices, is so filled with joy over one sinner that repents. Heaven bursts with joy. The angels burst with joy when there is someone who was lost here and is now found by the grace of our Lord and our Savior and is brought into that amazing flock. Because God sprung into action. God's church does the same thing. Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, will not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. 1 out of 10, probably a little more valuable. But here is a woman who understands how important that one coin is. I suppose she could survive with just the 9, but that one is important. She turns the house upside down. She does everything she can to go find it. Seek the lost. God's church does the same thing. God's church sees every single soul, every single lost soul, as worth the effort, worth the time. Get out there, go, look, seek, find, bring them back. The joy when that one sinner repents, the joy when that one is found, the joy that that one has of hearing who Jesus is, the joy that we have, that there's another soul who knows who Jesus is. Seek the lost. So who's supposed to spring into action? As you and I think about finding the lost, you and I already understand it's not always easy. It's not always easy finding the lost because sometimes the lost don't want to be found. We know that because we carry our own sinful natures in us, and there's been times when we look back at our own history and we kind of like being lost. And at least to begin with, we kind of resented the ones who tried to find us. It may not always be easy, but it is always joyful. It is always joyful to talk about Jesus. It is always joyful to share His love. It is always joyful to seek the lost, no matter what kind of response you and I get. And so we keep on seeking the lost. Coming up in October, we are going to have an opportunity on Wednesday evenings to go. It's going to be entitled, "Let's Go." For an hour from 6 until 7 on those Wednesday evenings, you and I are going to have an opportunity to think about the fact that you and I are living at a time that is probably normal for most of the history of the world, but still seems a bit abnormal for us. Most of us lived through a time, grew up at a time when at least there was this facade of Christianity, there was this facade of people who sort of at least generally kind of knew what was right and was wrong. And we are coming out of a time in history when people moved from one place to another, one of the first things that they did was build a church. Or perhaps when they moved into a new community, they went and found a church. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. Our society has moved God and religion so far out of it that at best it has often become compartmentalized. Church is just something we happen to do on a Sunday morning but has no bearing and nothing to do with anything else that we do in life. We've been inundated with the idea that there really is no God and there's no need for a God and you can do whatever it is that you feel like doing and you can be whatever it is that you want to be and you can decide whatever it is that you want to decide. And so the idea of going to church, not really there anymore. Let's go. Seek the lost. There is this attitude of love that our Lord and our Savior has given to you and to me, and now an attitude of love that we get to reflect to those who are around us. Let's go, because if they're not going to come to the church, I mean, we can say they know where it is. It's right across on Highway 16. The doors are open. But if they're not going to come to the church, then I suppose the church has to go to them. So who's the church? It's not the building. It's us. I'm the church. You're the church. We're the ones who are going to go back into that world. You are going to be rubbing elbows with the lost. They're the ones that you are among when you go back to work and go back to school and stand at your backyard fence. We get to show them the love of Jesus. We get to simply live who we are, forgiven. And you are perfectly qualified to do it. You don't need a fancy degree. You don't need a fancy piece of paper. You know what it means to seek the lost. Because you were. You were lost. You understand what you deserve, but you know what you're going to receive. You know that your Lord and your God found you. You heard it at the beginning of the service. Your gracious God sent His one and only Son to die for the sins of the world. You are forgiven. You are found. You are redeemed. And what you have is what the lost need too. You get it. You've been there. So seek the lost. Thankful that my Lord and my God did not see me as just another pen. Just one of all kinds of different people He's got in the world, one less, so what? But took the time, made the effort, had the attitude of love, sprung into action to act on that love, so that I can be His child. You've got the same love. You are also found. And now in God's amazing grace, He lets you and me seek the lost. Amen.